Isaiah chapter 29, verses 9 through 16. I'll read verse 9, then please join me on that 10th verse and every other verse through verse 16. Here this morning, Isaiah chapter 29. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding?
The message today is simply entitled, Your Thoughts, My Thoughts, and His Thoughts. Your Thoughts, My Thoughts, and His Thoughts. Look, if you would please, once again at verse number 13. The very last phrase that is found there, it says, But ye have removed their heart far from me, their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. And you know, our thoughts and God's thoughts are totally different. There's no way in the world we can reconcile the way that we think with the way that God thinks unless we get His thoughts from the Word of God. And the Word of God contains more than His thoughts. It actually contains and is His Word. And through the prophet Isaiah, God is sending a clear message to His people. Actually, He's sending a wake-up call to them in this particular passage. A wake-up call is very, very important. And if you please, Judah and Jerusalem, and He tells them to wake up. Because if they do not see, if they do not understand what's going, there's going to be a great judgment upon them. Why? For their rebellion against God. Well, when we studied the book of Isaiah, we found out that God's people were pretty rebellious people, and they can get that way. I think sometimes we believe that because we are saved, all is just going to be perfectly right in the will of God, and that's simply not true. God's people can get flat rebellious from time to time, and God never redeems, and I want to say this, God never redeems anyone just to live the way that they want to live. He saves them with a purpose. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But listen to this beautiful verse out of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. He says, I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Notice the next few words. For mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. God saves us for Him. He redeems us for His own sake. He forgives us for His own sake. It's not for our sake, though we are included in that. He says, I do this for mine own sake. Yet God's people still chose their own way over the way of the Lord, and the rest of the world has done that as well. And rather than be taught by the precepts or thoughts of God, that is the Bible, men are taught and choose to be taught by the precepts of men. It's easier that way. God's way is more difficult, I think, for many because God draws a pretty straight line. The way is straight, narrow is the way. And so the ways of man differ from the ways of God. The thoughts of man differ from the thoughts of God. The precepts of men differ from the precepts of God. And depending on one's spiritual condition, are sometimes more appealing than the ways of God. Notice the difference, if you would. I'm going to take you to four different passages. You can go there or just write them down. But God makes it clear that our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our precepts are not His precepts. And our conclusions are not His conclusions. Job chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, which doth great things past finding out. Job's talking about God. The things that He does are past finding out and wonders without number. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, which is where some of you probably thought I was going to go first with this message. It simply says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. See, it's not just found in the Old Testament. This is a New Testament truth as well. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, going through verse 17, it says, this wisdom, speaking of God's wisdom and man's wisdom, notice the comparison that God gives. And I think sometimes we read verses like this and we don't apply it to us like we ought to, or the world in which we live. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I want to remind you of the word evil. The word evil here is not talking about sin, though it can include it. The word evil means destructive or destruction ways. And it says here, let me start again, which this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work, every destructive work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That means it's unmixed. It is absolutely without admixture, is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Talking about the difference between God's wisdom and the wisdom of man. And then, of course, there's Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Years and years ago, I remember when I first read to understand that particular, I know I was probably in college and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. These verses clearly show that there's a difference between our thinking and God's thinking. The way that we understand things and the way that God understands things. And so we see the differences there. Now, the ways of men seem easier to accept often. And I mean that with all my heart. And we understand that because often we learn the way of the heathen. Often we learn the ways of men. Often we use the wisdom that is devilish and earthly and sensual, as the Bible tells us. But there are differences in the way that men think and the way that God thinks. The first one I think of is about the way to heaven. The way to heaven. See, the ways of men are easier to accept by many of us, even God's own Christian people. We have been fed them for years and years and years. And if you've ever been exposed to the government systems of education here in this country, you know what I'm talking about. We fight humanism every single day of our lives. Yes, even the best of Christians, and most of us are shocked to actually see what the Bible says. For example, the way to heaven. I think about the precept of men, as we read a moment ago in verse number 13 of Isaiah chapter 29. The precept, the thoughts, the way of a man. The precept, they believe you can believe what you want as long as you are sincere. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you understand that even sincerity, no matter how sincere it is, can actually be wrong. Believe as you want, as long as you're sincere. There are many roads which lead to heaven. This morning in Sunday school, we once again were reminded that all roads lead to Rome. Well, that was very, very true back in Bible times. Why? Because Rome, that center of commerce and all the rest of it, when all roads lead to Rome, well, all roads don't lead to heaven. You see, there's no way in the world that it can. There's only one way. Jesus said, well, I'll say that in a moment. They say this, a loving God would never send anybody to hell. No, he would not. But the truth of the matter is God honors men's requests. They reject Christ. They choose hell. Think about this. Someone says you got to do your best and work for heaven is the reward of the faithful. That is not true. Songs have been written that there's a place in heaven for those who pray back in the 1960s. Surely in heaven there's a place for those who do the good works. Think about that. They think about baptism and communion and church membership and holy living and all those things are required in order to go to heaven. That's the precept of man. Someone might even say, he's a good man, he's a good guy, she's a good lady, she's got a good heart, surely God will allow her into heaven. None of those ways. That's the precept of man, and then I have to understand that. I heard someone, was it just the other day, that I know who it was. It was one of our government leaders. I've just got to go back. I won't mention his name, but he simply said, I hope there's a place in heaven for me. I hope there's a place in heaven for me. And the man's making good decisions, and the man's got a good head on his shoulders, and he has a great deal of wisdom. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not a place in heaven for those who try to work their way. The thoughts of man, the precepts of man are totally wrong. What about the thoughts and precepts of God? Well, salvation is by grace through faith. You know the verses by heart, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, and I was just rummaging through the book of Titus just this morning and looking at some things that are found there. Titus 3, 5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's God's precept of getting to heaven. The Bible says that all men are sinners, not that all men are basically good. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then God expounds even further in Romans 3 and verse 23, where the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's precept, God's thinking is so different than our own. Listen, the Bible says all men deserve to go to hell. Why? Because we're born sinners. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. You see, it's so very, very important that we understand that. And man is basically good. Surely he'll get there. They'll weigh their good works with their bad works, and surely their good works will outweigh their bad works, and God will let them into heaven. No, all men are sinners. In fact, in Romans it says there is no difference. It's all the same. God's precept is that God gave his son as a ransom for all, and Jesus gave his life for all men. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we have to understand God's way is so different. And God made it simple. I love our gospel track, God's simple plan of salvation. Says, oh, you believe in that easy believism. I just don't believe in hard believism. God made it easy for us. And God wants us saved more than we want to be saved. And he made it clear for that. And all who trust Jesus as their Savior will go to heaven. Back to Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, the Bible tells us, believing on him. In fact, would you just take your Bible and go there just for a moment that you might see it with your own eyes? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. I think sometimes we leave out some of these important verses when we go soul winning. But these are so very, very important. And if you've never memorized them or put them into your heart, it would be a good time to do so. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word confess means agree, to say the same thing. In other words, we have to believe in Jesus and not some other Savior, not some other man, not some other religion, not some other belief. Confess him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at the little word ashamed. We see it differently. I've taught this to you before. It's worth reviewing. But often we look at the word ashamed and we think about shamefacedness. We think about turning red. We think about being embarrassed because of something that we have done. We're ashamed of ourselves. Not this word. The word here talks about being disappointed. Shall not be disappointed. You call on God, he's not going to turn you away, you see. The Bible makes it so clear. And listen, to misjudge this one results in eternal separation from God and his will in a place called hell. Man's precept is different than God's precept. And no matter how sincere a person is on this earth, teaching the precept of man, the thoughts of man, the ideas of man in order to get to heaven, they're going to lead someone straight to hell. But God said, this is the way to heaven. I think about this. When I think about the thoughts of God, I think about my thoughts. I think about your thoughts. I think about his thoughts. I think about the word of God, the precept of man, as mentioned in Isaiah chapter 29. The Bible says, listen, the precept of man is the word of God is inspired, like Shakespeare was inspired. To be or not to be, or whatever it might be. I talked to someone this week, and their last name was Urich. I said, people have kidded you all your life about, oh, Urich, I knew him well from Shakespeare. And she laughed on the phone and she said, yes, all my life. That's true. But they say that the Bible's inspired like Shakespeare's inspired, like Charles Dickens was inspired, like some songwriters are supposedly inspired. Well, that's the precept of man. It's just another book written by men. That's all it is. Just another book. It's writing. By the way, all of its writings are totally negotiable. We got to make them fit for what time. We got to have to do that. It must change to meet the spiritual needs of a changing man, because all the writings in the Bible are negotiable. That's the precept and the thoughts of man. But what does God have to say? Well, the truth of the matter is the Bible is the plenary, verbally inspired book of God, and every word is God-breathed and preserved. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It is a bedrock doctrine for God's own people, and God straight states what he thinks about his word. Someone said, I remember standing in a teacher's meeting one time teaching Christian school teachers, and I talked about how the Bible does not contain the word of God. It is the word of God. It's not just the thoughts of God reinterpreted by man, but it's the very word of God. And a teacher cornered me afterwards kindly and simply said, I've never heard that before. I've always heard that it was the thoughts of God that are found in the Bible, and man interpreted those thoughts. And I thought, you know, that's a shame. And I think they misunderstood what they heard, because I know where they went to Bible college. They didn't hear the wrong teaching there. But apparently somebody fed them a wooden nickel along the way. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture It doesn't say all that is Scripture. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then the next verse says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Word of God is complete just as it is. We need nothing else. It is not only the final authority, ladies and gentlemen. It is the only authority. You see, God's perspective is this. It's a book of books penned by holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. He carried them along, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:29. Listen to this precious verse. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as they were carried along. They were the pen in God's hand writing out every single word. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when the prophet Jeremiah and his secretary Baruch took the word of God to a king. He didn't like it, took a penknife and cut it up in pieces and threw it into the fireplace and let it burn. And Jeremiah and Baruch went back and Jeremiah said, write it again. And they wrote every word out exactly as it was the first time. And how many chapters did they add after that? Quite a few. I think Baruch might have said, come on, Jeremiah, I'm tired of writing of all these things. And God gave them the exact words. I love it. But nothing in the Bible is negotiable, not one single thing. Truth does not change. And Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, thy word is truth, you see. And rather than change the Bible ought to change us. And it ought to be that way. My thoughts, your thoughts, and his thoughts, they're just totally different, aren't they? I think about man's walk. Think about this. The thoughts of man, the precepts of man, as mentioned in Isaiah chapter 29, success depends on you. How many books on personal success have been written these days? And by the way, they're not all bad, but they leave out an important principle, like the thought of think your way to the top. Well, you know, that's just the power of positive thinking. Money is a sign of real success, you see. The more money you have, the more successful you are. Another philosophy, fake it till you make it. Another one, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Another one, follow your heart. It will always lead you right. Get all you can all you get, as many people have taught. But that's what man thinks, you see. But what does God say success is? I've told you about the Christian school that wrote a bunch of unsaved and saved individuals and asked them the secret to their success. And I thought it was very, very sad that they contacted men and women who did not know the Lord and asked them about how they became successful and put it in a class yearbook of all things. I read it. I know what was there. But the Bible has a lot to say about success in this life. Success is learning and knowing and doing the will of God. That's what success is. Psalm 1. How many times have preachers preached this passage? And for many, it's gone in one ear and out the other because that's old hat. We've heard that. That's trite. Oh, yeah, sure, it's true. But what does the Bible say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I don't know when it was, Brother Penn, that I memorized Joshua 1 and verse 8. But for some reason, it's another one of those truths, goes in this ear and out the other. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8 is, say, that's Old Testament. So is Psalm 23, so is Psalm 91, so are the prophecies, they're all there. Yes, it's the Old Testament. But even Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, you know all them Old Testament stories that are there? He says every one of them was written as an example to you. It's all there for us to learn from. Success is learning the will of God and then doing it. Another way of God's thinking that's different than man's thinking, the love of money, is the root of all evil. I think that's interesting. You know, when the Bible uses a word, it's there for a purpose, with purpose, and on purpose. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, all destruction." Money will destroy you. God doesn't give us that for our benefit. God gives it to us for serving the Lord. Very interesting. It says, "For money is the root of all, the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Our thinking is so different than God's thinking, isn't it? You see? By the way, the Bible tells you about having a good reputation. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 12, it says, "That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing." God tells us what success is. God tells us what's going to take us through this life. Here's something interesting. God says you trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, you know it, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's why the Bible gives us Proverbs 28 and verse 26, where it says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered." Let's go back to that verse just for a second. That is a picture phrase for us to look at. When it talks about trusting your heart, it's not talking about trusting just your emotions and all that. When a Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about you as an individual. Is it trusting yourself and your reasoning and the ways of man? He's talking about trusting yourself as opposed to trusting what the Lord has to say. And something else is interesting. You know, get all you can all you get. And then they used to say, sit on the can. Y'all finished that out for me a while ago. I didn't finish it then. I'm finishing it now. But look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. "And let us hear the conclusion." Does conclusion draw a picture for you? Sure it does. This is the end of all of it. This is what it's all about. What does the song, "Put your right arm in, put your right arm out, put your right arm in, shake it all about, do the hokey pokey, then turn yourself around"? This what it's all about. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 is what it's all about. Let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Interesting. You see, when we look at these different things like this, it's so very important that we understand that our ways are different than God's ways. And there are circumstances that come up in our lives every single day that we live. We must have the mind of God. What does it say in Philippians? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And it describes the very mind of Christ that we can have in us. You say, "Oh, we're sinners. We can't have the mind of Christ." Yes, we can. You have to allow it. That little word "let" is an interesting word in the New Testament. It talks about taking your hands off and you allow God to put his mind in you. We hear so many other voices day by day. So many other voices that turn us away from the truth. So many other voices that point us in the wrong direction, because the ways of man are different than the ways of God. But we are living in a world of men and philosophies that are there. Your thoughts, my thoughts, and God's thoughts are on, there are opposites. You see, there are opposites in thoughts. They're opposite in ways. You know, that's why, like when we do our pledges in Sunday school, when we do the pledge to the Bible, it says, "I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God." You see, that's why we have to put the word of God in. because the Word of God in is going to combat all of the philosophies of this old world as long as the Word of God is in there. We don't like it when somebody says, yeah, but the Bible says this, because it almost always contradicts what we were thinking. And things that we said, yeah, but the Bible does say this, but the Bible does say that, the Word of God, in our thoughts, in our ways, in our actions, in our own wisdom, in our walk, and in our work, since our ways differ. It only makes sense that we determine in our hearts that we're going to learn God's ways and not the way of the heathen. I graduated from public school. I learned the way of the heathen, trust me. Everything from evolution to philosophy and psychology, learned it all. You remember my telling you about my philosophy teacher that I had, who between me and a young lady in my class by the name of Peggy, both of us knew the Lord and loved the Lord with all of our hearts. And how he would call on me to give a Christian perspective, which was opposite of what the class was being taught in the book. And remember what I told you that Peggy wrote in the front of her book? I read it. She wrote a prayer. She said, "Dear God, please don't let this class corrupt my mind." And boy, I tell you what, there was a lot of corruption in that class. Just in a philosophy book, okay? Not to mention physical science class that I had, and the teacher years later got saved. And when I saw him in a hallway at the school after I visited the school, he said, "Dan Parton, I remember the only thing that you and I ever agreed on was the fact that we disagreed." And then he gave me his testimony of how he had received Christ. What a great testimony that was. But we fight these things all the time, all the time. So I guess my challenge to all of us today is to understand that if we're not careful, day by day, we're going to allow the world around us to teach us the precepts of men. And God condemned his own people and said, "Judgment is coming because you have learned the precepts of men rather than the precepts of God." Sometimes even the best of Christians fall into that. And when that happens, God simply told him, "Here's a wake-up call for you. The way you're headed is not the right way." So today I wanted to share with us the right way, something that the Word of God teaches us. It's very, very clear. Understand. Someone says, "Well, I'm going to heaven because of this," or "I don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Did you call it?" Understand that God has those precepts, and we learn those, and we can even share those as truth with others. Shall we bow for prayer?